Off the ball rugby.
You know, if it's like a similar fixture to the one we just saw in Scotland, where it's 50 points to 40, and we've played well for the majority of it, but our defence has been a shambles and they somehow outscore us, I don't think it's the end of the world, but I don't think we're going to lose to Scotland.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
He's got a goal!
The Saints are marching on with three wins on the trot after a shaky start in the SSE Electricity Premier Division.
The ball comes in and they score from the free kick. Would you believe
Heading
it?
Down the rocky road to Dublin to face St Pat's this Friday night are Doherty United.
Conor Keighley rises once again.
Doherty's men are in the doghouse after two defeats in their last two matches. Will the informed James Brown help the Saints get payback after two home draws against the Louthmen last year?
Brilliant performance for St Pat's tonight.
Vinnie Perth will be with Phil Egan at Richmond Park. It's the League of Ireland. It's live and exclusive on Off the Ball from 7 on Friday night.
That was a superb bit of play.
League of Ireland on Off the Ball.
The News Round is brought to you by Viagra Connect 50 milligram film-coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
Welcome along to Tuesday night's Off the Ball. We're on your radio until 10 o'clock tonight. Coming up, John Duggan is going to join us from Cheltenham. Live at 7:30, he's been speaking to Paul Townend, to Willie Mullins, to more voices that have had success over there today. From 8 o'clock then, we're going to be speaking to Dr. Babak Fazouni from the Open University. The subject is around the Iranian footballers who protested at the Women's Asian Cup last week in Australia. Five of them have been given amnesty in Australia this week, and what that represents in terms of protest in Iran, both in the country and outside the country. It's going to be a fascinating conversation with Babak, and of course we're to discuss the 2026 World Cup and if Iran might get turfed out or if they themselves might pull themselves out of the tournament this summer. We're going to be discussing Scottish rugby before 9 o'clock on the back of the Darcy Graham comments. And between 9 and 10, the football show is coming your way featuring Owen Doyle. So the Champions League is unfolding this evening. An hour has just passed in Turkey where it's Galatasaray 1, Liverpool 0 in the first leg of their tie. Our number is 0879 180 180 if you want to send us a WhatsApp message. Arthur O'Dea is here in studio. Evening, Arthur.
Hi, Owen.
And Owen Doyle is in early. Owen, how are you keeping?
All good, yourself?
All good. You've been keeping a close eye on what's been happening here in Istanbul. It's noisy. It's typically Galatasaray. Liverpool with a couple of half chances in the first half, but really, if the score is going to be different, it could have been Galatasaray 2 or 3 nil up.
Yeah, no. The first 5 minutes looked like Liverpool had a few really good opportunities inside the box, wasted them, kind of passing behind each other and stuff, not kind of setting each other up well enough to actually get a good, decent shot off a goal. And then they just give away a corner against their own play. Awful defending. Osman gets away, totally unmarked, and heads it back across the goal. And on the second phase, the goal scorer just taps it in. I think it was
Lamina,
who got the final touch in it, and it was an easy tap in for him. Since then, Liverpool loads of possession. Not much going on with it though. Lacking a kind of cutting edge. Akitike's playing out wide, and Virt's kind of playing as that false nine, which isn't really helping matters. Salah's just being took off there in the 59th minute. Bit of a sulking head in him as he was walking off. Himself and Kirkez came off for Robertson and Frimpong. I'm sure Slot will make that up as if he's resting him, etc. for the weekend, but he's definitely not happy about his chance for Galatasaray. Oh,
not a huge chance for Galatasaray to go 2-0 up. That is awesome, quite, it is awesome, and yes, that is quite the screw up by Liverpool at the back there. It looked like Konate might have had more than enough wherewithal to actually clear that. He just ends up tripping over the ball, and the ball comes back to Osimhen, who finishes into an empty net. He's shrugging his shoulders there as if it's been ruled out, or if there's it has been ruled out. I'm not quite sure what that's for. But the ball comes over the back, Van Dijk heads it away, and then it's an offside, which this has been called for, as the ball goes over the top to a player who doesn't touch the ball, who's in the offside position. But yeah, Konate was the last man on the line after the ball gets lobbed over Mamardashvili. He's just with his back to the ball, trying to twist his body around, ends up falling to the ground, and then Osimhen falls over. Probably correct call, because that keeps the defender honest. The man who's offside is distracting the Liverpool defender.
Yeah, I think it's a correct call, yeah. I'd say that, obviously, with Liverpool Liverpool hat on here. But, yeah, no, it's the right decision. Like, more often than not, would like to see them go, just because you want to see goals in games and stuff. But no, it definitely is the correct decision. Just before that game, before you move on there on the if anyone gets an opportunity, go on social media later on. Osimhen was crying before the game kicked off because a massive tifo was unveiled of him beforehand by the Galatasaray fans. It was very, very impressive. So if anyone gets a chance to check that out, it was wonderful.
He has been a figure of our evenings talking about Champions League football all season long. He's been absolutely sensational for Galatasaray since he's been there. European goals this season, it's 7 in the Champions League so far. And then when he was on loan last season, he scored 6 in the Champions League. He just seems to score every single week. Mario Lemina, who scored the first goal. Have either of you Googled him today just to kind of... Obviously, we remember him vaguely from the Premier League. But, I mean, there's this round in the crappy quiz, which Arthur dominates all the time,
okay,
where you get given like a Wikipedia list of somebody's clubs, and Arthur's just like quick as a flash, gets them all. How many of Mario Lemina's clubs would you be able to list off? I have his Wikipedia.
No, not many.
Not many?
No.
What ones come to mind?
Where was he? I'm assuming the same guy who was at Wolves.
Yeah, absolutely, this is the same guy. Two, you've got one of his three Premier League clubs that he's played for.
One of three? No. Not a clue.
Owen?
I've got them on front of me.
Just ruined the game.
Yeah.
Completely ruined the game.
Some CV.
Some CV. So, Lorient to Marseille, to Juventus, to Southampton. Don't remember him at Southampton.
Okay.
To Galatasaray on loan for the first time, then to Fulham on loan. Very little recollection of him playing for Fulham on loan. That was hardly championship. No, it wouldn't have been 2020-21. Nice, then Wolves, then Galatasaray. So there you go. That's your little life update on Mario Lemina for everybody who is wondering. So 64 minutes on the clock. Galatasaray 1, Liverpool 0. We'll get to the Champions League team news in just a moment, but we're starting this evening with Cheltenham, because Lossiemouth has won the champion hurdle, which is, of course, is the feature race on day one of Cheltenham. So the 75 favourite, ridden by Paul Townend, trained by Willie Mullins, finished comfortably in front of brighter days ahead with the new lion in third. So the mare is unbeaten at Cheltenham with 4 wins from 4, and winning jockey Paul Townend said she was brilliant today.
She's so honest and genuine that just on her back, you know whether it's happening today or not. I don't think it's the makeup of the race. I think it's whether she's physically or mentally or emotionally or whatever has got into her head a couple of days. But she was on song today.
And were you riding that piece of work with the cheek pieces when everybody was suddenly smiling?
I was, yeah.
And you know, when was that, and what was it like to describe it?
She just came alive with them. I was on the fence about her in champion hurdles, but I thought she needed to find that little bit of spark that we thought she had before. And you know, Willie's trained her differently as well, and no better man. Like, whatever I was feeling, you'd believe what he sees for this couple of seconds he sees him going by. He knows a lot more. He's forgotten more than I'll ever know about race horses. So I thought I was happy, and when I seen him smiling, we were happy enough then. Yeah,
should be 1-1 to Liverpool on.
Yeah, Ekitike's press is excellent. He just nips in front of us.
That doesn't work.
Should have been Liverpool goal. Should be 1-1 on.
But yeah, no, he dips in and he runs 1-on-1 with the goalie, and his first touch is great. His second touch is not so great. It's into his body a little bit too much, which forces him into taking a third touch before he tries to dink it over the goalie. But the goalie stands tall and gets a good arm to a corner kick, and nothing comes of it.
Right then, back to the racing. Willie Mullins, he also enjoyed grade one success today in the Arkle with 7-1 shot. Kargisi, the champion trainer, admits she wasn't the horse from his yard expected to win the race.
My glass was half empty going to the last, but you know, and I thought Paul had it won, and then he just genuflected, and Danny's Cargisi, she's just so tough. Look at her racing career, and she never gives herself an easy race, but she jumps well and gallops all day. She's really tough, and Danny got everything right in front.
Do you think she was a little bit underestimated coming into this, because everyone had eyes on the jewel?
I think so, yeah, I think she was. And you know, I just thought, well, what a second to have behind Kopeck de Boer. Obviously he lacked experience, but he was doing all the right work at home, and I've had him to the race course twice, given him two really good gallops against really good horses, and his form on his schooling days was fantastic. But I thought, you know what, Cargisi, she is a good second, and she's there with a good chance.
Willie Mullins there, and Nicky Henderson then won the opening race of the festival, the Supreme Novices Hurdle, with Old Park Star. Henderson's unbeaten hurdler came into the race as the 15-8 favourite, and jockey Nico de Boinville made sure of the win after Sober Glory faded badly. Other news coming out of Cheltenham today, a horse has died on the opening day of the festival. Hanser had lost his life following a fatal injury during the Singer Arkell Challenge Trophy Novices Chase. A spokesperson for the Cheltenham Racecourse said it decided that the best course of action for the horse's welfare was for him to be humanely euthanized. John Duggan will join us in around 20 minutes' time. He'll be live from Cheltenham now. Back to the Champions League, 67 minutes on the clock, as I've mentioned. Galatasaray 1, Liverpool 0. One of the 8 p.m. fixtures sees Newcastle facing a huge challenge when they take on La Liga leaders Barcelona at St. James's Park. Newcastle boss Eddie Howe says it's one of the biggest games in the history of the club.
Recent history, I don't know. Someone could trip me up going way back. I'm sure they will. But I think recent history, for me it is. And I think, yeah, that's very much the mentality we need. I think rising to the occasion, embracing the size of the game, I think these are things that have helped us this season. And we're looking for the same again. I think the underdog role, to a degree, in my time here, has helped us at times when we've been in that position where we feel sort of the odds are stacked against us, and we're going to need to use every psychological tool that we can to help us in this game, because it's undeniable we're playing a very, very good team, an outstandingly well coached team, I have to say, as well, from having watched them thoroughly in both games, preparing for them as we have done. They're a top team.
Newcastle line up with Aaron Ramsdale in goal, a back four of Kieran Trippier, Malik Chow, Dan Byrne and Lewis Hall. It's Jacob Ramsey, Sandro Tonali and Joe Linton in midfield behind a front three of Harvey Barnes, William Asula and Anthony Alanga. So it looks like Asula leading the line in the number nine position. Our buddy Nick Voltamata on not getting a look in up front at the moment. Midfielder Voltamata, does that do it for you?
Kind of spoke about him when he first broke on the scene. It was like, he's not... Is he an out-and-out nine? Yeah, potentially, because of his physique, and if he's able to just be in the box and get on the end of crosses and stuff. But his link-up play, when he does drop deep, can be very, very good as well. Mm. He's got good feet for a big man, yeah, but he seems to be had a bit of a tough time of it of late.
A tough time. He's on the bench, Johan Vissa on the bench, Anthony Gordon on the bench, Jacob Murphy on the bench. It's a good bench, but you could say that the reason why there's a lot of strength on the bench is that a lot of those top players just haven't been performing overly well for Newcastle recently. Is that 2-0?
No, it would have been 1-1, but I think it might have hit the Liverpool player's arm.
Okay, so the goal is given, but they're checking VAR, or has it already been?
They didn't even seem to celebrate Liverpool.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Not sure where the handball is there. There seems to be a foul on Virgil van Dijk, who rises high to meet the cross.
Lots of bodies there, isn't there?
Like, yeah, I think maybe Kanate is that in behind.
It's a mess.
Surreal wait after.
I think they've given it.
You can keep an eye on that. I'll give you the Barcelona team for this Newcastle matchup. It does say 1-1. VAR goal check is pending. So it's Joan Garcia in goal for Barcelona tonight. Joao Cancela, Gerard Martin, Pau Gubarsi, and Araujo as their back four. It's Marc Bernal and Pedri in midfield behind Fermin Lopez, Rafinha, Lamine Yamal, and Robert Lewandowski. Elsewhere tonight, then, in terms of the other 8 o'clock, it's Atalanta versus Bayern Munich. And then the one that a lot of people are going to be very interested in as well is Atletico Madrid versus Tottenham Hotspur. To give you that Tottenham team, it's Antonin Kinski in goal starting for them tonight. It's Mickey van de Ven, Kevin Danso, Christian Romero, Jed Spence, Pedro Porro, Archie Gray, Pap Sarr. And then up front, it's Richarlison, Muani and Mathis Tell. So that's the story there. And Tudor, of course, Igor Tudor, the interim Tottenham manager, hoping for his first win since taking charge. Spurs locked in a relegation battle in the Premier League, but he says tonight's game is a welcome distraction.
Of course, they're important. Every game is important. As I said, always after the game, we need to be focused on us to grow. So it can be opportunity. Total different mentality aspect can be used in this kind of the game, so maybe this can help us, you know, seeing how, which problems we have. I believe that this kind of games can help us to switch in the right way, but always focus on us to grow as a team, to do the things better, and that's the point.
No goal in Turkey there, so that's been ruled out for handball. Meanwhile, we see Cody Gakpo being introduced for Liverpool here. I'm not sure who he's coming on for, but he's just come onto the field to play for Liverpool. On Igor Tudor and Tottenham Hotspur, Owen, this is such a bizarre scenario. Like, are they going to play with a greater freedom, just a lack of pressure when they go through these two legs of football, even though it's the Champions League? And it just feels crazy that they'd have a greater sense of freedom as opposed to playing at home versus Crystal Palace last Thursday.
Virts that came off there for Gakpo, sorry. But now I think that's a major, they're just under severe pressure. I would never be one for saying something like this, but I actually think Tottenham have to get rid of him now, because like you bring him in for the manager bounce, and then you've got three games and nothing has changed. It's important, and the only thing in their control now, they don't even have a transfer window right before the end of the season, is they can change the manager and try to do something different. And you kind of look at how their big players are treating them. You're looking at the facials and body language, especially their bigger players, like Van de Ven and Romero, who look like they want out. Very, very harsh, but I can't see them getting past Atletico. Obviously, just defensively, they're so, so strong always. And I know they got Richarlison and all back in the team now the last couple of weeks and stuff, but he's still not their best attacking threat, and Tottenham's injuries are top heavy on the pitch. Loads of their attacking players are out. They have been for a considerable time. So, you know, it's a mad time for a Tottenham Hotspur fan. Mad time.
It is, because the fixtures are mad as well. Like, obviously,
they're irrelevant because they're losing all the time.
Well, that's I can't.
I was looking at them. I was like, I wonder if they'll pick up their points here, but it doesn't matter because they haven't been picking up points at all.
But so, like, their next Premier League game is away to Liverpool on Sunday. Obviously, a very tough fixture. But then their next Premier League game after that is at home to Nottingham Forest, which is a relegation dogfight. And then they have to go to Sunderland. And Sunderland away has been one of the trickier fixtures all season. But then, because it's Tottenham, their fixture after that is home to Brighton. And you're like, God, I don't know. Like, is home actually, is it? Are they better off going to Sunderland? Are they better off going to an atmosphere that's so conspicuous by how unwelcoming it is, given their home setting seems to be just the same thing?
The Wolves away after that.
Yeah.
Which just beat Liverpool at Molineux there recently, like, who actually, their form is actually relatively good for a team rock bottom of the Premier League. Yeah, it's really tough for them. Like, still in my mind, there's no way I see them in the Championship next year. But that just could be because I just think Tottenham are just too big of a club to be down there.
I think there's a bit of that going on. I've started to shift my perception on this a little bit. I don't think they will get relegated, but it's going to be by the skin of their teeth if they do survive.
Yeah.
Chelsea on the penultimate day of the season as well. Chelsea would love to relegate Tottenham.
Yeah.
Or at least keep them down there on the final day. It's a busy night as well in the Championship, by the way. So you've got Millwall and Ipswich both looking to strengthen their automatic promotion pushes. Millwall, they can move to within a point of second place Middlesbrough with a home win against Derby, while fourth place Ipswich are travelling to Stoke. It's fifth versus sixth as Hull are off to Wrexham. And then Leicester, they can climb out of the bottom three with victory over Bristol City. Portsmouth are up against Swansea, and already relegated Sheffield Wednesday are taking on Watford. Meanwhile, here at home, Shelburne and Shamrock Rovers shared the spoils in the SSE Electricity Men's Premier Division last night. Defending champions Rovers fought back from 2-0 to rescue a 2-2 draw and a point at Talca Park. And Hoops boss Stephen Bradley wasn't surprised by his team's comeback, but feels they shouldn't have been in that position. He was speaking to our own Ben Symes, talking about how the officials had indicated that the ball was out of play before the second Shells goal.
Just so we're clear, he doesn't go to point, he points. Referee points for a goal kick. Players look to the ref more than anyone else. He points for a goal kick, our players stop. It's not good enough. It's really not good enough, you know. If he's pointing for a goal kick, he obviously thought the ball was out, or he heard that the ball was out. He's pointing. Why doesn't he blow the whistle? It's awful.
After that goal, your side did brilliantly bounce back in two goals in the space of 8 minutes. How impressed are you with the resilience of your side to turn that around so quickly?
Look, you don't do what these players have done for the best part of 7 years without having character and resilience and quality desire. That's all there. That's what the group is made of. So that was never in doubt. We're just really disappointed that we've given them a head start in the game.
We're going to come back to this with Owen on the Football Show a little later on. Just want to move to the rugby. Scotland's Darcy Graham thinks Ireland are there for the taking in Saturday's Triple Crown clash at the Aviva Stadium. So Scotland are joint top of the table after last weekend's win over France. And Graham says it's been too long since they've won in Dublin, but they're full of confidence about this weekend. Now, Ireland attack coach Andrew Goodman says he's not surprised that Scotland are bullish. And he started by telling Darragh Smith-Nocton that Ireland's template will be their recent performance at Twickenham.
Because at that point, again, like, we want to try and get back to that level, but we want to use that as a benchmark that we can to
we can grow from. And if you look back at the Wales performance, we weren't quite as sharp with some of our work off the ball. That was something that was really impressive in, against England. You know, we were working off the ball hard, which meant we were seeing pitches early, communicating things really well, and then off the back you execute really well. So we'll be driving that this week.
Would you say it's the best Scottish team to come to Dublin?
It'd be hard for me to answer that with my history, but yeah, I'd say listening to what they're saying as a group, their belief is as high as it's ever been, according to everything that's coming out of the group. And so it should be, as I said, the way they've performed over the last 3 weeks has been good rugby. So I'm sure it'll be up there with one of the better teams that have travelled over to these shores. Yeah.
Meanwhile, England, they've made just one change to their starting lineup to face France. Leicester's Ollie Chesham comes in a blindside flanker, with Sam Underhill dropping to the bench for the clash in Paris. Steve Borthwick's men, of course, aiming to avoid their worst ever finish in the championship after a first ever loss to Italy, followed back-to-back defeats to Scotland and to Ireland. We're going to do a little bit on the Scottish question before 9 o'clock. We'll do a bit of reaction to Darcy Gray, and we'll hear from Tom English because we've asked him to send us a voice note. Is it true that Scotland are arrogant? Because that seems to have been pushed out there by certain people over the last couple of years. And we've asked Tom English to send us in a voice note. And I believe it's come to, what, 3-4 minutes, Arthur? And
we'll
play it out for you at around, let's say, 8:30 to 9:25 tonight. So, in terms of Gaelic games, there won't be a public sale of tickets for the first three rounds of this year's Munster Hurling Championship. High demand means that tickets are going to be distributed through county boards for the games, and they'll only go on general sale if there are returns on match week. Munster GAA says the decision is partly driven by matches being in smaller venues such as Cusack Park and Walsh Park in the opening rounds, but also a huge interest for tickets comes for games involving Cork, Limerick and Tip. It's the hottest ticket in town, Arthur.
Yeah, you can't get season tickets, I don't think, for, certainly can't for Limerick hurlers anymore.
Oh, really?
I think I am almost certain that you can't at the minute. No, I think they've a quota that is full, and they're not the only one. I do think there are a few more.
Oh, sorry, but it's a waiting list.
Waiting list, yeah. So
they do exist, but
But you just can't buy them anymore. I forgot that makes a lot of sense, I suppose. Yeah, the games where they are, but it is it's a strange one. What do you take from that? It's obviously Munster Championship's an extremely healthy place. You won't have the same issue, I suspect, even for the biggest games in Leinster, which is ultimately Hurling's problem, if not Munster Hurling's problem. But I suppose let the good times roll. It's great. It is interesting, because you do have a situation then where those grounds that are too small, you have no way around that, unless, I suppose, you're not going to build off the back of a game a year or a game every 2 years against Limerick or Cork at home. It isn't. Anyway, but it's great. It promises the same sort of thing we've come used to in recent years.
Yeah, nothing is a bigger PR win for anything than sold out signs on the door. So yeah, Munster Hurling Championship in rude health. One other rugby story as well, just to tell you about. Munster's Niall Scannell has announced that he's going to retire from rugby at the end of the season. The 20 times capped Ireland hooker is one of only 17 Munster players to feature more than 200 times for the province. Scannell says he's enjoyed a dream journey with the Reds, and he's hanging up his boots with nothing but gratitude. Meanwhile, in athletics, Cate O'Connor and Mark English are part of a 12-strong contingent provisionally selected for the World Indoor Championships later this month. O'Connor's going to compete in the women's pentathlon, in which he claimed silver at last year's edition in China. And this year's championships are underway in Poland on Friday, March the 20th. In golf, Rory McIlroy says he's hopeful that he's going to be able to defend his title at the Players' Championship this week. The world number two says the back injury he suffered at the weekend is proving stubborn, and he won't travel to Sawgrass until tomorrow. He's going to have Xander Schauffele and Hideki Matsuyama for company in the first two rounds, with Seamus Power and Shane Lowry also part of the field. Kyle Walker, by the way, has announced his international retirement at the age of 35. He made 96 appearances for England since his debut in 2011. He reached the World Cup semi-final in 2018, as well as being at Euro 2020 and Euro 2024 as tournament runner-ups. He hasn't been named in any of Thomas Tuchel's squad since his move from Manchester City last summer. So getting in there ahead of it.
Yeah, fair play to him.
And Roscommon footballer David Murray has brought the curtain down on his 12-year inter-county career. The Padraig Pearse's defender made 125 appearances for the Rossies, helping them to win the Connacht Championship twice. He also enjoyed National League title successes across Division 3 and Division 2. Right, we are speaking to John Duggan very shortly about day one at Cheltenham. You've got experience at Cheltenham, Owen Doyle? Good memories, bad memories?
Yeah, no, I was there once. Like, I'm not a big fan. I'm not a big fan of the horse racing.
You've got
like
more
that,
experience than I have. I've never been.
But it was at Cardiff. It's not fair. It's not far.
Okay,
so,
yeah.
So we all went over to on the Tuesday. It was the day. It was the year that all the favourites won on that day, and Any Power fell on the last, I think. few lads are waiting for a lot of money.
Yeah.
If Any Power had of Rom Tom. But never happened. But yeah, it's a great day out, like, really good. I'd love to go back, like, you know. It was, like, everyone went from the club, like, manager, everyone. We actually trained at 8:30 in the morning.
Right.
And we got to the stage halfway through the session where the lads got so giddy, they were just asking the manager, like, Gaffer, come on, let's go. Everyone's suits are in the changing room. Everyone just desperate to get on the bus and get going. The team chef came with us and he was making bacon sandwiches for us, Rasha Sambos on the bus and all for us on the way over, and the beers were getting handed out. It was a great day from start to finish. It was great, like early kickoff for us.
Sounds like a dream day out.
Yeah, no, it was very good, like, yeah.
And match that midweek or match that weekend?
That weekend it would have been, so yeah, Tuesday would have been off, Wednesday, bit of a trek getting back, trying to get a taxi out of Cheltenham all the way back to Cardiff was not an easy task.
Didn't have the foresight to book an Airbnb or something?
No.
Yeah.
No foresight.
And any other stories you can tell us from today?
Absolutely not.
Yeah. Owen Doyle, thank you for that. You'll be with us as the evening progresses and the football show coming your way between 9 and 10. Just to let you know that 84 minutes gone on the clock, it is Galatasaray 1, Liverpool 0 in the first leg of their Champions League last 16 clash. Now, the news round is brought to you by Viagra Connect. 50 milligram film-coated tablets contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage, 1 50 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
The news round is brought to you by Viagra Connect 50 milligram film coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 1 50 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.